Sideline continues on Sports Radio 107.5 and 1400 The Fan.
Welcome back to Sports Line. Chris and Marcus, glad to be with you here from the WDUZ Fan Studios. Going to be joined by the one, the only, Brady Papinga in just a second. We are brought to you in part by Accountemps. Your business needs can change in an instant. Accountemps can help by providing accounting and finance pros on a temporary basis whenever you need them. Call today Accountemps, a Robert Half company. Right now, I want to welcome in former Packer linebacker to talk some NFL draft, some Packers opinions, and of course, his opening day, the Brady Papinga opening day in this momentous week of baseball openers all over. Brady, how you doing, man?
Well, I'm doing really well, guys. And yourself? How's Green Bay cheating you out there?
Excellent, excellent.
Oh, nice. You guys played, go out and hit the links by chance?
I've played 54 holes in the last week. And
oh, my goodness.
Tips the driving range, yes. But
nice job.
My feet are still soggy, but that's okay.
I've been playing a little Tiger.
Little Tiger
by the
tail.
What's that, little Tiger?
Video game.
Oh, what? Come on, I thought you were talking about going outside and doing something cool.
No, let's
come
not
on, Marcus.
Oh, that generation.
Get off the couch. Those... Get out there and move around. Get some fresh air.
Yeah. NFL 60. Opening day for one Brady Papinga. What was that experience like for you in the NFL for the first time?
Well, you know, I had opening day in 2005 when I was a rookie, but the one that really sticks with me is 06. And that was because I came off an ACL injury, and I came back, and I earned my way into the starting lineup. And so it was like my first opening day as an official starter, looking like I was going to be the starter, you know, for the rest of the year, as long as I performed well. And so we went out there, and we were playing the Chicago Bears. And I'll never forget it. It was a gray day, humid in Green Bay. But the Bears, they came in, and they had implemented this really power kind of football, you know, pulling guards. It was a fun offense to play against, at least in the run game. And so I went out there, man, and I think I led the team in tackles. I had a bunch of tackles for loss, did a bunch of great things. But, man, did I play the run so over-aggressive that I got burned over and over and over again by I forget his name. His first name was Desmond. It was a tight end by the Chicago Bears.
Desmond Clark.
Desmond Clark. Good job, Marcus. Love that memory. Desmond Clark, man. And I mean, honestly, he didn't have to work really hard. I was every little run fake, man. Boom, I was blowing through there like a blitz. Like, oh, my goodness, it's a pass. And I was trying to get on my guy. And it was so funny because after that game, you know, that's when the media started getting on me about how he couldn't cover tight ends and everything. And I remember McCarthy in a press conference after the game, and he was sitting there, you know, taking on all the questions. It was his first game ever as the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, and they asked about me, man. Do you think Brady's going to be able to handle those tight ends? He's like, I don't know. Brady's a developing player, but, man, he sure played well against the run. You know, it's like that's all he cared about. And lo and behold, we ended up losing to the Bears 26-0. But and then we went on the run there, the 2-6 run to start off the season. It was a dark day in Green Bay, but then all of a sudden things started clicking. The light bulbs started turning on for guys like myself, AJ Hawk, Greg Jennings, and guy Darren College, young guys that were all brought in those last 2 years, 06, 05. And lo and behold, we won 6-2. And we ended up the season destroying those same Chicago Bears. And, yeah, go look at the stats. How many catches did Desmond Clark have in that last game?
I'll look right now.
Zero, don't you believe. He may have had one little short one. But anyway, it was sort of a microcosm, my own personal experience from that opening day till the end of the season, like the team, in the sense that we saw tremendous growth, tremendous improvement. That ended up being one of the big reasons why the following year we were one interception away from going to the Super Bowl facing that what would have been 19-0 New England and Patriot team there in 07. But but yeah, that was a heck of a memory of mine. In 06 opening day against the Chicago Bears, you know, doing one thing pretty good, and the other thing I had a little bit of work to do. But again, it was a microcosm of the whole team that opening day. But it's one that will stick with me forever.
Brady Papinga here on Sportsline talking about his opening day memory. Marcus, do you have
Desmond Clark in the second matchup that year? Did not have a catch on 5 targets.
Okay,
so blank.
Boom!
Shut
there
him
you
out.
Go. You know,
Brady
how many passes defended did I have that game? At least one or two, right?
I don't know why this doesn't keep track of.
Oh, I would think you were at least that many, Brady.
Oh, yeah. I had one that went right through my hands. Old Brian Greasy, guys. He was so lazy because what he did is he would get the snap, and he'd look at the defense, and he's like, oh, who's Brady Papinga cover? Oh, he's covering that guy. I'm just going to throw the ball. And I remember there was this kind of a seam route by Desmond Clark. He was trying to split our seam. We run a lot of cover, too. And he's trying to split the seams. And I'm just right next to him running stride for stride, and I turn around, and I have my hand on his hip because I can feel him, and I'm turning around to see if, in fact, the quarterback is dumb enough to throw the ball. And guess what? There he is, Brian Greasy, winding up to throw the ball, throws it. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you serious? And I go to pick off the ball because I couldn't believe he actually threw it, and it went right through my hands.
Oh, no.
I was ticked, man. I was like, and I remember, like, you know how sometimes when you get mad, you sort of do, like, the fist thing where you throw your fist? I threw my fist so hard, I almost, like, popped my shoulder out of socket. That's how ticked I was.
Yeah, I hate it when the other quarterback targets you and you don't make the pick.
Oh, my God. And that happened to me with Tavarius Jackson. That was on another play where he hit me right between the 5 and the 1. Oh, my God. Well, let me tell you this story, guys, since we're on this little rant. So we're playing the Minnesota Vikings. This is the first year when Aaron Rodgers took over at the helm. And we're playing Tavarius Jackson, Adrian Peterson, and this Minnesota Viking team that eventually made it to the playoffs and ended up being pretty good. But in this game, we had their number. We had a big lead, so they had to abandon the running game, and they're throwing the ball. And obviously, Tavarius Jackson throwing the ball isn't a good thing. So we run this simple zone blitz. I'm dropping, they call it middle hook. You know, I'm just basically in the middle of the field. And I'm sitting there just reading the quarterback's eyes. And he literally throws it, and it's coming right at me. I'm like, are you kidding? No, this is a joke. You know what I mean? Quarterbacks don't do this, you know, because I'm used to playing against Aaron, used to playing against Favre. Like, they never throw the ball right to you. And lo and behold, it was coming right at me. And at the last second, I was like, fine, I'm just going to catch this in between my, you know, numbers off my pads. It hits my five and one, bounce and ricochets off. No catch, no reception. I was like, are you kidding me? Unbelievable. You got to believe it. This is the best part. So apparently in the stands, my parents came to this game. And some drunk Packer fan got so upset at me, called me some terrible name, and my dad yelled down, hey, don't call my son that name. You got to respect the name. You know, and they get into this little, like, verbal bash, and the guy's like, shut up, blah, blah, wait. And the guy's, like, in the middle of arguments, my dad goes, wait, Brady Papinga is your son? My dad goes, that's right. He's like, oh, can I get your autograph, take some photos with you? So he went from calling me, like, the worst names you could ever imagine because I dropped an interception to wanting to take a photo with my dad and mom and get their autograph. So there you go.
That's Brady Papinga here on Sportsline. Brady, you talked about it. It sets up perfectly. We wanted to hit on one of the things with you. Rookie development, because this year the way it's setting up on the defensive side, especially for the Packers, at least a handful of rookies are going to have roles and compete and contribute. What is that journey like? What all needs to happen? Because that's a lot of pressure in one draft class with, it seems anyway, what Green Bay needs.
Well, the journey's all about you got to be able to have thick skin because you're going to make mistakes. And with those mistakes, you're in a microscope. You're going to have to be able to, like in my situation, you're going to have to be able to handle the public perceptions, you know, the reporters, the beat writers like Bob McGinn who think they know what they're talking about but have zero idea, and then they go quote some unnamed sources to try to support their idea. I mean, you have to deal with that. So all of a sudden your friends are coming to you going, oh, Bob McGinn, he says this. He says, it's like, come on, Bob McGinn, are you kidding me? Bob McGinn makes stuff up all the time. What are you talking about? I don't know. Do you guys know who Bob McGinn is?
Well, there? Absolutely, Brady. But okay, here's the thing, Brady, though. Would you want those sources unmasked, really? I mean, would you want...
Of course. I don't even... You know,
if you don't put your name next to it, right, Brady?
I don't think he even has sources. I could write an article and say, an unnamed source told me that Bob McGinn smokes marijuana in his nightgown outside his house. I mean, I can do that kind of stuff, too. You know what I mean? We can all do that.
Well, mostly it's just like an unnamed NFC East scout or an unnamed scout for an NFC West team.
Yeah, I love how he does that because it's like, honestly, just name the guy's name. You know what I'm saying? Because we don't believe that you get that information from anybody because... Who knows? You could be making it up out of thin air. There's no checks and balances there.
Hey,
and
Brady,
back to the... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, but there are times when the boat gets rocked, I would think, a little bit when you pick up back in the day when you picked up the paper, now the immediacy, you go online, and guys that were in a meeting room know exactly what was said, and almost verbatim, bam, there it is. Okay, do people look around and go, who's talking to who?
Well, you know, I'll tell you this. In terms of the information, you don't even need to go anywhere. You know, if you're in Green Bay, your friends, your kids' friends, parents, they're going to tell you what they're saying about you out there.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So it's
right.
Like you don't even need to do anything. They'll be like, dude, oh, man, they're going to cut you this year? You know, that was like my rookie year. I'm like, I hope not. You know what I mean? Well, they're talking that you might be on the bubble. I'm like, oh, okay, that's great.
What about stuff that's said in meetings, though? Stuff that should be maybe sacrosanct and gets out. And you go, well, who is the leak?
Well, a lot of that's by design. You know, back in the day, John Schneider was the big leak. You know, as he's, and he, and it's all, and as you can see at the Seahawks, what he's doing right now with Richard Sherman, it is all with a specific end in mind. You know, in a lot of places, it's feelers. Like with the Green Bay Packers, anytime they're going to get anything anybody controversial coming in for a visit, Joe Mixon was the latest example, right?
Mm-hmm.
Comes in. Guess what? We all know he came in. Obviously, his agent is sending out that information. But I am sure if his agent did not send it out, the Packers would have sent out that information and seen what's the reaction. Is there a huge backlash? Is there support for this? You know, so you all know the game. You know, and so you tend to laugh at some stuff. But then at the other end of the spectrum, with these rookies, you have to learn to be able to manage that kind of talk about you and know what the reality is and trust in that reality and not let it break your mind and also not let it affect your decision-making when you're on the field because, I mean, you don't want to go out in the game and be like, oh, I'm going to prove all my doubters wrong, and you're thinking of these writers and guys like – because it's like, no, you got to take that mental energy and that mental – or I should say the focus you have and just put it on your job description and how are you going to get better, how are you going to help the team – and so, I mean, it's a tremendous task, you know, and Ted's done a nice job of getting guys in to have that mental toughness, you know, over the course of time that he's been there to where they've had heck of, you know, contending teams year in and year out. So, but that's one of the biggest things is mentally being able to handle the role where all of a sudden you're in the microscope. And then you gotta develop, you gotta understand those things that you're struggling with. And then you gotta go to work. You gotta spend extra time after practice. You gotta emphasize those things in practice. And you got to make it to where it is one of those things that you're going to find a way to fix whatever is wrong, or else you know you're eventually going to end up on the bench. So there's a number of kind of approaches you could take to the art of drafting and developing and being that guy that develops. But at the end of the day, I would say it comes down to mental toughness, focusing in on the very thing that you got to get done.
That's Brady Papinga, the former Packer linebacker. No question the Packers float ideas out there to gauge public opinion, public popularity and perception before they make certain moves that could be somewhat controversial. I mean, they've been in business a long time, and they can be pretty coy about it, but they know what they're doing. Marcus?
Brady, I want to ask you about the linebacker position. Now, I know in the 3-4, or in any scheme for that matter, the guys who get after the quarterback, that's where the money's at. Like, Nick Perry just got a $60 million contract. He's an outside linebacker. But I'm looking at the inside linebacker position. In comparison to that outside linebacker position, it's been a long time since the Packers spent a high draft pick on an off-ball linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know, from your perspective, like, is that a Ted Thompson philosophy? Is that Dom having his input in there where, I don't want to say it's like devalued an inside linebacker versus an outside linebacker, but is it?
It is. You know, and I think history, recent history has shown that. If I'm not mistaken, don't quote me on this, but I have an unnamed source that says, I'm half joking and half serious because I did hear this. I think I read this, as a matter of fact, where the front, I might have been Elliot Wolf who admitted it, that they sat down and basically said, you know what, inside backers are a dime a dozen. We're going to draft these guys. We're going to bring them in at cheap. You know, we're not going to pay for these guys. We're not going to invest high draft pick in these guys. And they learned that when, you know, you go back to our time we won the Super Bowl 2010, Nick Barnett gets hurt. Brandon Chiller gets hurt. A.J. Hawk plays great. Desmond Bishop plays great. The next year, Desmond Bishop gets hurt. Lo and behold, Brad Jones steps in there. And it's like you have this revolving door, and guys keep playing really well at the inside backer position. And I think they finally learn, wait a second. What are we doing here? These guys, it is a position based off of the nature of the evolution of the game that isn't as important because teams just don't line up and power football you down your throat anymore. And if you got mm-hmm. Aaron as your quarterback, good luck trying to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, the Cowboys couldn't do that. Usually you're going to get in, you know, 8 out of 10 games, you're going to get in a shootout where you're not going to be able to afford to just pound the football and try to keep Aaron on the sidelines because you're going to be looking at a 10 to 14 point deficit.
Mm-hmm.
That means, and it's very similar to how the Colts were built, if you remember all those years when Peyton was there, to where they didn't value off the ball backers at all. They were all about rushers and cover guys and inside presence guys. That's it, and the defensive line. And that's because they felt like we're going to play more times than not with the lead.
Mm-hmm.
So those guys are going to be the ones to finish off the game or at least help us preserve that lead. We're not going to need these big thumper linebackers to come in here and stop the run because teams just aren't going to be able to do that because we have too explosive of an offense. And I even sat down with Ted, you know, when he cut me in 2010, and he basically said the same thing. You know, we're going to emphasize our offense. We're going to ride our offense and its ability to score, and then we're going to build a defense that just can protect that score. So it is a philosophical decision by the Packers, but also it reflects where the game's at right now to where just that philosophy of pounding the ball, like I talked about in 06 with the Chicago Bears, it just doesn't exist anymore.
Visiting with Brady Papenga here on Sportsline. You know, with inside linebackers, I think it's an interesting conversation, Brady, because still in number of years, Dom Capers has had the defense here, and McCarthy and Thompson have been working with them to get players. I'm not sure what body type they covet at inside linebacker, and I know in the sub packages, they're usually the first men off the field, but if you're going to play a 3-4, I mean, you better be able to get guys that are more versatile than I would think than that. I'm not sure what to make at what their plan is, what their ideal inside linebacker is. Is it a Lawrence Timmons type? What are they looking for?
They look for a guy that is tough, he's smart, and he can call the defense. You know, that's the number one thing Dom looks for because he has a lot of checks in his defense, depending on whether you're in base or you're nickel or dime. And he's got to get the front situated the right way, the coverage, all that kind of stuff has to line up with the formations and the strengths of the formations and even the game plan stuff. And those things are checks that change on a sometimes halftime to halftime basis. Mostly it's week-to-week basis. But, the biggest thing is they want big, fast, physical guys, you know, that can run, they can hit. Ideally, they would love somebody. These guys don't really exist to where you get a guy who's very physical. Like a Nick Barnett, I think, was probably one of the more well-balanced linebackers in AJ in his prime, Hawk, who I played with, to where they can go and cover guys if you had to ask them to do that. But then, at the same time, they're physical enough to hold up against the run. You know, and that's the ideal prototype you look for in an inside linebacker, like a Luke Kuechly. I think Luke Kuechly right now is the prototypical guy. Unfortunately, with Luke Kuechly, he would have a tough time in a 3-4. And that's because he would have to take on a lot of guards. A lot of, you know, of those guards are able to get up to the second level in a 3-4. Although they could probably do some stuff to protect him. But the point is that in a Dom Capers defense, he wants as much as he can to get guys that are physical, but at the same time have enough speed and athleticism and patience and coverage to be good cover linebacker so that he doesn't have to take guys off the field. I mean, right now they got a revolving door there.
Wow.
But again, it's not a big concern to them. They're more concerned with pass rush coverage. Right now, I guarantee you, their number one thing that keeps them up at night is that secondary. Who can they find that can play some press man coverage? If they can do that, then everything else is going to look a lot better.
No doubt about it. That's Brady Papenga. Before Marcus gets at you, Yari Evans, TJ Lang out, do you plug him in at right guard? Would he be a guy you'd look at? You got to be familiar with him, I would think.
Yeah, you put him in there and see what he does. Now, with Mike McCarthy's scheme, you know, the zone blocking scheme's huge. So Jarre Evans is going to have to show that he can get up to the second level, that he's quick enough to press to sideline to get that defense running laterally. You know, and he can do it. Most teams run some form of a zone blocking scheme offensively, and if he can show that, which I would, as long as he's healthy, imagine he's going to be able to do. Yeah, he should be a plug and play kind of player. But don't think that Ted's not going to. If there is an offensive guard that's high on his draft board, pops up and stares him at the face, he's not going to pull the trigger to bring somebody in. Because Ted, one thing that people I don't think ever really talk about, it seems like, especially as of late, is he wants to build a team that in every position group there's competition for who plays. You know, when I was there, that was probably more prevalent than it's been lately because they've had some restrictions with Aaron Rodgers and his contract and how that's eventually going to play out in terms of the money they're going to have to pay him to do that, to where you have enough solid guys at each position to where he can actually pull off a true competition. But in light of that, just because Jarre Evans was a guy who signed, he was brought in, doesn't automatically guarantee he's going to be the starter next year. Because I'll tell you this, too, that if there is a guy that comes in, he's young and he develops pretty quick and shows promise and is just right under Jarre Evans in terms of ability, they always want to go young. Because as you know, if you go young, it's cheaper, you save money.
Brady Papenga here on The Fan. Now, before the last break, we were talking running back, and Ty Montgomery, of course, he's going to be one of the guys. They right now have three running backs on the roster, along with Kristen Michael and Don Jackson. So one thing lacking there, experience. But if you're looking at maybe a player type or veteran versus rookie, what are you thinking? What kind of running back would you want to pair with a guy like Ty Montgomery?
You know, a guy who's going to run between the tackles. Yeah, Adrian Peterson. Come on, Ted. Now, I know that Ted, he brought him in for the visit and all that kind of stuff. The numbers got to be right. I understand that, and that's probably why there hasn't had any, and nothing's happened yet, and there's more word that Adrian Peterson visited the Saints, or he's going to visit the Saints next week. He already got out of a visit with the Patriots. Again, if you're going on these visits and you're leaving without a deal, generally it's a discrepancy in terms of how much you want to get paid. So, Ted's doing it right. He's being patient. Obviously, you go through the draft, you may find somebody. I mean, this draft is filled with awesome running backs. You got the top-tiered guys. You already know about them, like Fournette and Cook and, you know, God, if McCaffrey could fall to the Packers. Oh, my goodness, that won't happen. They'll have to do something to move up to get him. But a guy that I know really well that could be there for them is Jamal Williams out of BYU. This guy, you go look at his film against big-time talent last year, Michigan State. You know, who else did he play that? Mississippi State. He played some really good football. He's a versatile back, but he's a tough kid. He could come in, and that's what they need. Is they need a sort of a change of pace. Because Ty Montgomery, he's good at like being patient, vision, finding the gaps in the defense and exploiting them. But he's not a guy that's going to wear out a defense. And he's a guy also that creates mismatch nightmares because he can, you know, he's a wide receiver for crying out loud. But you get a guy in there that can pound a defense and just wear him out, and then you comp. And I remember when we did that, we played the New York Giants. They had Ahmad Bradshaw and Jacobs. Oh, you'd go in there, and Jacobs would wear you out, and he would get, you know, 3-4 tough yards. So you're sort of then set into that tempo, and then all of a sudden they throw Ahmad Bradshaw, who's this little jittery guy. It's another gear you have to adjust to on the fly. So I would like to see them add a big physical, wear-you-down kind of back, which Adrian Peterson would be my number one choice at the right price, because there are guys in the draft that you can find that can do that.
Brady, you got time for one more? We got to let you run.
One more, one more, and then we'll go.
Cornerbacks, real quickly, the kid out of Colorado. Do you like him? Was it Azuwe?
Yeah, I do like him. I think he's long. He's a jam guy.
Awuzie.
Yeah. Awuzie, baby.
Not Awuzie in Green Bay.
Yeah, no, I do like him. He would, to me, he fits the kind of prototype they look for. Dom looks for in his guys. Joe Witt looks for in those kind of guys. Long guys that can get your hands on you. You know, I mean, they're not looking for guys that go out and run 4.240s. Let's be honest. I mean, ideally, you want a guy who can run a 4.240, then also get your hands on you. But they saw Al Harris. They saw Tremont Williams. I mean, Al Harris and Tremont, if you timed them in the 40, probably 4.6 guys. You know, but because they're so good at jamming you at the line of scrimmage and then route reading ability, they were able to stick in your hip pocket the whole way and cause havoc. So he fits that mold. The question is you know, who's going to be there? Who's going to be there
right, where
the Packers are drafting late in that first round? That's the question. Or does Ted have some? And again, he's so good at poker face, holding his cards to a chest. Does he have somebody that he's eyeing like he did in 2009 with Clay Matthews that he's going to go after? You know, Christian McCaffrey could be that guy.
Could be.
I'm telling you, he seems to fit the mold. Not just because he's white. I know that's what you guys are thinking. Stop it. Nah.
Christian McCaffrey's white?
Because he's
I thought his dad was Ed McCaffrey.
Yeah. No. You're funny, man. Yeah. He's a guy. But just in terms of the versatility aspect, he could. To me, he's worth. If I'm drafting, I'm picking Christian McCaffrey number one overall. I'm talking the best.
Wow.
Why do you guys think that?
That is
you think
a
I'm
bold
crazy?
Statement.
Wait, what about Myles Garrett? What about... Why? When I go shopping, I like to get value.
Mm-hmm.
I like to go pay one price and get three things. Mm-hmm. That's what you get with Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
You're going to get one pick is going to get you a slot receiver, a running back, and then a special teams return specialist.
Yeah.
What else do you want? 3-1, that's three guys you got in one draft pick. Now you can go on your roster. You have so much roster flexibility. Literally, you could say, hey, you know what? We're going to keep an extra quarterback. If, let's say, you got a guy that is a third-string quarterback that you love and you want to develop, but he's really raw. Or let's say you want to keep an extra guy at a certain position. You don't feel stressed like, oh, man, you know what? We need another guy in the special teams game. Oh, man, we need another receiver. Oh, we need another running back for depth. You don't have that with him. You got all those bases covered, and now you have the full line of possibilities before you in terms of building your roster. Unbelievable value there with Christian McCaffrey. The most valuable running back to come out, ladies and gentlemen, probably since the rules changed in 05.
You know, Brady, and I love the way you're thinking on McCaffrey and the 3-for-1, but in Ted Thompson's world, 3-for-1 means trading down from 29 and getting a fourth and a fifth.
Of course.
Now, there's some value. You get 3-for-1.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he would, unless he's listening, which I know Ted is. They like
to absolutely. Come on.
I'm serious.
We're being surveilled. Are you kidding me? Absolutely.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this. If Ted, I mean, come on. The guy's eventually going to retire here. I know before he retires, he's going to have to do something that's just like crazy. You know, that finally he goes out on a limb and just says, forget it. Boom. And goes out and does something crazy. Maybe this is the draft, guys, that he does.
Walking off, dropping the mic, the bat. I don't know, what would a GM drop? The notepad?
No, he'd drop his remote clicker that he watches film with.
There you go. And go play golf.
Yeah, with the little laser. Draft. You guys seen those, by the way? They have a fast-forward rewind button and a little laser on it.
It's amazing what
they
can do nowadays. Brady, you're the best, man. Really appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure, guys.
Take care.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. You Brady Papinga, former Packer linebacker, talking NFL draft, talking Packers. Bring us some opinions there, Marcus. Oh boy, he'll make you chuckle.
Never any shortage of opinions. That's just the best.
Oh,
the best segment.
Good stuff there. We got to get to a break. Come back on the other side. A very, very busy, busy day in sports. Baseball, at least for one night, was very, very good to the Brewers. Today, not so much. The Bucks back in action tonight. 6 o'clock, an early tip against the Pacers. We'll set up all that now. The latest on the leaderboard in the Masters sports line here on The Fan.